Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're diving deep into biblical prophecy.
Ooh, exciting.
It is, but it's a topic that's caused tons of debates over the year.
Definitely.
And, you know, we're going to be looking at a lecture transcript by Robert Van Ooy, who asks, can we actually use prophecies that have come true to show that the Bible's legit?
It's a big question.
Especially, like, when you're talking with people who aren't already, like, believers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a question that's fascinated theologians and, you know, people who are skeptical of the Bible for centuries.
Absolutely.
And you might be surprised to learn that even within Christianity, you know, amongst people who believe the Bible, there's different views about how to interpret prophecy and whether it can be used as, like, this kind of slam dunk proof.
Right. Van Ooy actually introduces us to a scholar named G.C. Alders.
Okay.
Who's, you know, pretty skeptical of using prophecy as, like, a gotcha to win people over.
Yeah. He represents a school of thought called amillennialism.
Okay.
Which basically means that he sees most prophecies as symbolic, pointing to, you know, spiritual truths rather than, like, literal events.
Okay, so how does that symbolic view then affect how he views prophecy as proof?
Well, he points out a few things. First of all, he says that there's a lot of disagreement about which prophecies have actually been fulfilled.
Oh, interesting.
You know, there's some scholars who argue that there are prophecies that haven't come true at all.
Wow.
And that raises a tricky question of how can we be sure that a prophecy was actually written before the event that it supposedly predicts.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, if it was written after the fact, then it's not really predicting anything, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then also he says it's often hard to date when prophecies were written, which makes it hard to use them as, like, solid evidence.
Yeah.
He quotes a scholar named Davidson who says that for a prophecy to have evidential value, there's a whole bunch of judgments that have to be made.
Mm.
And a lot of those are really subjective.
Okay, so it sounds like what Alders is saying is that you kind of have to already believe the Bible before you can accept fulfilled prophecies as proof.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So it's kind of like a chicken and egg situation.
Totally.
Yeah.
But Van Ooy doesn't just stop there.
Okay.
He brings in another scholar, a theologian named J. Gretchen Machen.
Oh, right.
And Machen had a little bit of a different take.
Okay, so what did Machen have to say about all of this?
Well, Machen totally acknowledged the work of the Holy Spirit in guiding people towards faith.
Okay.
But he also thought that it was really important to use logic and reason to try to address people's intellectual doubts.
Mm.
And he had this idea that we have a responsibility to create what he called favorable conditions for belief.
Interesting.
He actually tells a really neat story about a man who encountered God's word through a preacher and was really moved by it.
Wow.
And realized his sin through what the preacher was saying.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, just through the power of the words that were spoken.
It sounds like Machen thought that, you know, the right words spoken at the right time can have a really profound impact.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And he wasn't afraid to engage in, like, intellectual debates.
Okay.
He even had this funny response to the saying, you'll never win a man to Christ until you quit arguing with him.
Oh, I've heard that one.
You've heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, well, of course you need more than arguments.
Right.
But that doesn't mean arguments are useless.
Yeah.
Like, the Holy Spirit's not working against evidence. He's helping us to see it clearly.
So we have two different viewpoints here, but there's a common thread.
Yeah.
And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in opening hearts to the truth.
Totally.
So it seems like both Alders and Machen acknowledged that the Spirit's work is essential.
Absolutely.
It's just that they differ in their approach to using reason and evidence in that process.
Yeah. And this brings us to, like, a really fundamental question that Van Ooy tackles.
Okay.
And that's, what is the relationship between faith and reason?
Hmm. That's a big question. So what's Van Ooy's take on that?
Well, he actually brings in the Bible.
Okay.
He quotes 1 Peter 3:15, which tells us to be ready to give a defense for our faith.
Okay.
And then he dives into the writings of St. Augustine.
All right.
As discussed by A.J. Newhouse in an article called Why We Can Get Along.
I've heard of St. Augustine, but I don't really know much about him.
Well, yeah. Augustine believed that faith is reasonable.
Okay.
But he also thought that reason without faith is incomplete.
So it's not either or.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of work together.
Yeah. Okay. And he had this great line. He said, understand my word in order to believe, but believe God's word in order to understand.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
Yeah. It's like they each take turns leading and following.
Totally. Like a dance.
Yeah. It's a beautiful image.
Yeah.
So how does this all relate back to prophecy and its role in apologetics?
Well, that's where Van Ooy brings us back to the heart of the lecture.
Okay.
And he says, look, the Bible itself doesn't rely just on, you know, mystical experiences or philosophical arguments. It points to signs, to wonders, and especially to the fulfillment of prophecy as evidence of God's existence and power.
So is he saying that prophecy is like a form of proof that we can actually examine?
Exactly.
Even though, like, centuries have passed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He even distinguishes between miracles.
Okay.
Which were witnessed by a specific group of people at a particular point in time.
Right.
And prophecy, which can be tested across generations.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I wasn't there to see the Red Sea part, but I can look back at history and see if prophecies have come true.
Yeah.
But doesn't that run into the same problem of, like, dating and interpreting that we talked about earlier?
That is a great point, and that's exactly where Vannoy takes us next.
Okay.
He dives into a specific example.
Okay.
The book of Obadiah.
All right.
And that's where things get a little more complex.
Okay.
And a lot more interesting.
All right, I'm ready for the challenge. What's so special about Obadiah?
Well, Obadiah is really hard to date.
Oh, okay.
And that kind of throws a wrench in any attempt to use it as, like, really clear evidence of fulfilled prophecy.
Right.
The entire debate hinges on one key detail.
Mm-hmm.
The plundering of Jerusalem mentioned in verses 10 and 11.
Okay.
Yeah, so Obadiah is like pronouncing judgment on Edom mm-hmm. for their violence against Israel. But here's the thing.
Okay.
Scholars have a really hard time figuring out when this actually happened.
So we have this prophecy, but we don't know when the event that it's talking about actually happened.
That's the question.
Okay.
Yeah, so Vannoy lays out a few different possibilities.
Okay.
One is that Obadiah is referring to a plundering that happened during the reign of King Jehoram of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And this event involved Edom teaming up with the Philistines and Arabians to attack Jerusalem.
So if that's the case, the book of Obadiah would have been written after that.
Exactly.
Right.
But there's another option.
Okay.
Some scholars think that it's talking about the Babylonian plundering of Jerusalem in 586 BC
mm-hmm.
that was led by Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
And there's actually a mention of Edom's involvement in that event in the book of Ezekiel.
So we have two potential events.
Uh-huh.
That could fit the prophecy that are like centuries apart.
Exactly. It gets a little tricky. Uh-huh. And then there's a third interpretation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
By a scholar named J. Barton Payne.
Okay.
Who links it to a Syrian attack on Israel
mm-hmm.
during the time of King Ahaz.
Okay.
But that account doesn't specifically mention Jerusalem being plundered.
Wow. So we have three possibilities.
Three possibilities.
And each one would give us a really different date?
Yes.
For when the book was written?
Totally. And it gets even more complicated.
Oh, no.
There's debate about whether the verses that come right after the description of the plundering
okay.
are talking about a different future event
mm-hmm.
or if they're just like continuing the same event.
Oh, wow.
And then on top of that, there's a question of whether Obadiah took some of his material from the prophet Jeremiah.
So it's kind of a big puzzle.
It's a puzzle. It's a scholarly puzzle.
To bring this back to our original topic,
yeah.
if we can't even be sure when Obadiah was written,
right.
how can we really use this prophecy as evidence for the Bible?
It's a great question, and Vannoy acknowledges that difficulty. He points out that even though it can be hard to date and interpret prophecy,
mm-hmm.
it still holds value as we're thinking about whether the Bible is trustworthy or not.
I'm curious how that works.
Yeah.
Because how can something be, like, valuable as evidence if we don't even know when it was written?
Well, Vannoy points back to the fact that the Bible uses signs,
okay.
wonders, and the fulfillment of prophecy to show that God exists and that he has power.
Right.
You know, like the Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna in the wilderness.
Yeah, those are all really powerful stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we weren't there to see those things.
Right. We just have the accounts.
Exactly. Yeah. So how is prophecy any different?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and that's exactly the distinction that Vannoy makes.
Okay.
He says that prophecy is different from miracles
mm-hmm.
because its fulfillment can be tested over time.
Okay.
It's not just a one-time event that a certain group of people saw. It's a claim about the future that anyone can verify.
So we may not be able to go back and see those miracles,
mm-hmm.
but we can look back at history
right.
and see if the prophecies came true.
Exactly. Yeah. And he says this makes prophecy a powerful tool for engaging with people who have doubts about the Bible
mm-hmm.
because it's inviting them to look at the evidence
yeah.
and see if the predictions actually happened.
So even though we don't know for sure when Obadiah was written,
right.
Edom did eventually disappear.
That's right.
And that lines up with what he said?
Yeah, their demise is historical fact. And that makes Obadiah's prophecy really interesting.
Okay.
whether what he described happened in the time of Jehoram or Nebuchadnezzar or some other time, the outcome is what he said it would be.
So it's not about being able to prove exactly when the book was written. It's about the fact that the prophecy actually happened.
Exactly. Of course, some people might say, well, that's just a lucky guess.
Yeah, or coincidence.
Yeah.
How do we respond to that?
Vinoy would say that the level of detail in Obadiah's prophecy is beyond just chance.
Okay.
You know, it's like predicting not just that a team is going to win a game, but the final score, who the star players will be, and all the controversial calls by the ref.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more specific a prediction is, the less likely it is that it's just random.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that's where the value of prophecy for apologetics comes in.
Okay.
You know, it's not about having absolute, undeniable proof, but it's about having evidence that points to the trustworthiness of the Bible and God involvement in history.
This has been really fascinating.
Yeah.
So even though the dating of Obadiah is still a mystery, the fact that his prophecy about Edom came true adds to the bigger picture of how unique the Bible is.
Yeah, and Vinoy doesn't just stop at historical accuracy. He goes on to explore the theological meaning of prophecy.
Ooh, I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
What does he say?
So Vinoy points out that prophecy shows us that God's not just powerful, he's also really involved in what's going on with us.
Right, he's not just sitting back and watching.
Exactly. Like, prophecy shows that God cares about justice and righteousness and what happens to nations and people.
Yeah.
It shows that God's actually planning things and guiding things, and sometimes even like stepping into history to make things happen the way he wants them to.
So it's not just proving God exists.
Right.
It's also about showing what kind of God he is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what's important to him.
Yeah, it makes prophecy a lot more personal.
For sure.
And Vinoy says this understanding can totally change how we live our own lives.
That makes sense.
You know, like, it changes how we see the world, what we value, and even how we see ourselves fitting into the bigger picture.
Right. Because if we really believe that God speaks and reveals his plans and guides history, then that's going to change how we face problems in life.
Oh, for sure.
And how we make choices.
Absolutely. It's like having a roadmap.
Yeah.
Like, you get a glimpse into the future, and it gives you hope and direction and a sense of purpose.
Right. So we can see beyond just what's right in front of us and trust that God's working even when we can't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah, it reminds me of that saying, God doesn't give us the answers. He gives us the strength to find them.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
It makes me think of something that Vinoy talks about in his lecture.
Okay.
He asks, like, what if we had actually been there for some of those big events in the Bible? Like the Exodus or the fall of Jericho.
Right.
Or when Jesus came.
Yeah. Would we have believed it?
Would we have been convinced? It really makes you think.
It does.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so cool about prophecy. It's like it starts a conversation with God's word.
Yeah.
Almost like a wrestling match.
Okay.
You know, we have to face our doubts and what we think we know and really think about who God is and how he does things.
And that's not always easy.
No, but it makes it more meaningful.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's in that struggle, that wrestling match, that our faith grows stronger.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into prophecy, I'm just in awe of how big God's plan is.
Yeah.
And how he puts history together.
Incredible.
And I'm amazed that we get to be a part of it.
Yeah, that we get to be a part of the story.
And see, his purpose unfolding.
Absolutely.
This has been amazing.
It has.
And I want to encourage everyone listening to keep exploring.
Yeah.
And asking questions. And wrestling with these ancient prophecies.
Keep digging.
You might be surprised at what you find out about God.
Yeah, and about yourself.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of biblical prophecy.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep seeking and keep learning and keep believing.